Hi, this is Lisa, and I am so excited that you're here. I want to welcome you to this training series, welcome you to a space where we get to learn, to grow, to expand together, to find out how we're going to touch so many lives, starting with our own. I want to bring your attention to right here. Focus all of your attention and your awareness to the present. Be right here with me. Push everything aside. Anything that you haven't done yet, believe me, it will wait on you until we're done. Anything that you still need to do, it'll be there when we're finished. Right now, I want you to be in this present. This is a gift for you. I want to make sure you have a pen, paper. I want to make sure you're in a quiet place. I want to make sure you've removed all the distractions around you. I'm going to take you through a training series. And in this training series, we're going to get really clear on why we're here, what we're going to do together, how we're going to touch lives, what do you need to do to make this a huge success for you, and how we're going to support you to do that. I want to make sure that you're prepared to do social media posting. You know, our communities are no longer just in our physical surroundings. So, you know, when we look at why are we here? What's our reason? Why am I doing this? Well, many things. One, I want to touch you and I want you to feel my touch. I asked you to join me in this movement. I asked you to jump in and you said yes, yes, right? And so one, I want to inspire you to open your heart. I want to inspire your heart. I want to find ways for us to rediscover and newly discover what abundance looks like in your life. I want us to look at what are the ways in which we stifled our own abundance so that we can unhook that, unlock that, so we can, you know, clear up that blockage so that the very first person that benefits from our Abundance Now movement is you. And then as you've benefited from it, as you're living and loving and embracing and forgiving and letting go and grabbing with abundance, you'll be contagious to do the same for others, to inspire them to live in abundance. But first, it's going to be about you. You know, my grandmother says, baby, the first law of nature is self-preservation. Take care of yourself, and then you can take care of others. And I believe that. And so it's going to be first for you. And then the ripple effect will occur. When I look back at my company last year and I looked at how we generated several million dollars in a year. And you know, for some of my friends and colleagues, that's absolutely nothing. But for me, from where I've come from, what I've gone through, what I've come through, you know, it still has me in awe at times to own a multi-million dollar company. And to be producing work internationally. I don't say that to brag. I say that in complete awe of the power and possibility of just the divine and how we all get to have abundance. And when I look at what happened, what did I do to make that happen? I look at how was I able to create a new reality, a new mindset. It started first with creating a new definition of abundance for myself. I had to unhook a lot of things that I used to think, and I had to really understand what does abundance look like now. I write a lot about it in my book, and you'll be able to read that. But in order for me to be my own best rescue, I had to shift my mindset around the definition of abundance, because I needed the definition of abundance to include me in it. See, my old understanding of abundance was that it was only available to a few. And my new definition of abundance that I had to take on was that abundance is available to all of us. It was this work that transformed my life into something barely recognizable. And now I want to invite you to join me on the exact same journey that will be very different. It'll have some elements of it, but it'll be different because you're a part of it with me. It's going to be great. It's going to have times where we're going to jump up and down and celebrate each other. We're going to have a lot of celebration because as I know, as you know, what gets celebrated gets repeated. So we're going to celebrate each other. We're also going to offer each other course correction. You know, if our way of thinking is taking us here, but we want to go here, then we're going to coach and I'm going to put coaches around you. I'm going to put people who love you in your space, but we're also going to find out what muscles do we need to develop to design a barely recognizable life. So I ask you, why would you have signed up for something like this? why would you have signed up to become an ambassador, to take on a lift? I don't know if you know, but I'm going to expect something of you that you haven't given yet. You are going to need to produce something in you that you haven't produced yet. You're going to do some things that you've never done, say some things you've never said, be the man, the woman that you've always known yourself to be. It's going to happen inside this. And then there'll be more after this. This isn't the end all, but this is going to be a great big start. Why would you sign up for something like this? Why would you? Point one, the reason why you did is because you have always been a change agent. Even when you were figuring out what to do, yeah, you're probably nodding right about now, you are a change agent. You were put here for such a time as this, and our paths converged, and the opportunity sparked inside of the Abundance Now movement for you to use your voice. See, this movement is bigger than you and I, alone and combined. Our steps were ordered right to this point, to this sector, to awaken the consciousness of our sisters, our brothers, humanity around the new definition of abundance. And as I said before, it's going to require you to lift your own personal life. It's going to require you to take your finances, your health, your love, your forgiveness, your spiritual awareness to the next level so that everyone watching you as an ambassador will be inspired by your abundance in motion. Hashtag AIM. What I know is that most of us spend a lifetime looking for something greater than ourselves to be a part of. I know for years I would sit and go, gosh, I wish I was there with Dr. King and Miss Coretta and all of the amazing people that stood for something, that marched for something, some that died for something. People who spoke up for something greater than themselves. And I realized I wasn't supposed to be there in the early 60s, in the mid 60s, in the late 50s. I wasn't supposed to be there. I was supposed to be right here. You're supposed to be right here. That our charge is to deliver a message that will awaken the planet, awaken people. I know that sounds big and crazy, but I just think when Nelson Mandela or Mother Teresa or Mahatma Gandhi or Dr. King, when they sat in a living room and had a conversation about shifting the consciousness of the planet, it probably sounded a little crazy to them as well. So I'm okay sounding crazy. And I'm excited that you're willing to sound a little off with me, because it's when you're willing to sound a little off that we do something that's so on point. And so we're here, you and I, for a reason. I want my dash between my birthday and my transition day, I want it to mean something ginormous. And the only reason why you signed up is because you feel the exact same way as I do. So let's first begin by understanding what's the new definition of abundance that we're going to teach people. And what I love about this is that when we begin to teach the new definition of abundance, it'll take a moment to jumpstart. It'll take a moment to hit critical mass. It'll take a moment to become that tsunami of consciousness. I don't even know if we'll get it done in a year or in 3 years or in 5 years. But what I love is that when you're committed to making the planet a better place to live on, you just start planting seeds, understanding that other people may come along and water them. We're putting something into the universe, into the awareness that's going to forever live. The first thing is, how do we demystify the myth of abundance? As I said to you a few minutes ago, abundance is not just for some people. That's one of the first things we want to demystify. Abundance is available to everyone. Abundance is available to every man, every woman, every color, every culture, every religion, every economic status. Abundance is so much bigger than just money and possessions. Money and possessions are just a small indicator of abundance. That's point one. Point two, abundance is a holistic, say holistic. Yes, Abundance is a holistic conversation. Let me just stop and speak to you about that for a moment. See, I have the pleasure of having friends from all walks of life. I have friends who are just getting on their feet, who are just starting off their lives and figuring it out. I have friends who have gone through a bout with massive debt and they're trying to climb out of that debt. And I have friends who have billions of dollars beyond what they'll ever spend. I have a friend who says, I have enough money for my grandchildren's grandchildren, my grandchildren's grandchildren, to live comfortably. So I have a vast array of very wonderful friends from one end of the spectrum to the other. And what it's shown me is that abundance is not just about our possessions. It's not just about our money. Because some of my friends who are just starting out or who live on a very tight budget, they in some cases have a more abundant life than my billionaire friends. Why? Because of the quality of many areas of their life, not just one. Sure, their bank accounts don't look the same. A few extra zeros over here. But the abundance still is very different. Abundance speaks to many areas of your life. Now, when we look at bringing forward your conscious mind on all the things that have influenced your relationship to living abundantly, there are many, many things factoring into that. See, your mind has a lot to do with your abundance, your mind and what you believe. And I'm going to open up a lot of these conversations a little later because we have time together. I'm going to take you through a series of different courses, different classes, different coaching sessions like this. And then we're going to have time together on other programs. And then we're going to have some live time together in a live room when I really come unwrapped and unpackaged along with my phenomenal team of master facilitators who are going to crack your heart open and expand your mind. So I'm going to skim over the top of a number of these areas just so you can understand abundance. The myth of abundance is that it's for some people, not everyone, and that abundance is a holistic experience, and that your relationship to living abundantly has a lot to do with your money blueprint. Or we can even expand that and say your blueprint around abundance in general. Like, what's your concept around abundance? A lot of times when you think abundance, you think money. And so I'm going to go in between money and abundance, but just know abundance includes several areas of your life, and I'm going to speak to that in a moment. Number one, your cultural influencers. Where you may not live in the same environment any longer, your cultural blueprint still has a huge part of the language you speak around abundance. Culturally, you've been influenced. Whether you're Indian, whether you're Latin, whether you're African American, whether you're white, whether you're Asian, whether you're whatever you might be, just your cultural. And culture is something we're so dedicated to. It's such the fabric of who we are. It also could come with limiting beliefs around abundance, around money, around prosperity. It's in your language. It could be in your clothes. It could be in the food that you eat. What's your cultural relationship that you have with abundance? It's a good question for you to ask yourself. Does your culture say to do more with less? That was mine as an African-American woman. You don't need a lot. Do more with less, especially as a woman. You know, learn how to stretch a dollar. Is that what your culture says? Does it say that money is a status? And it may not say these things loudly, but it says it in the background. It's like the background sound. Does it say that the more money you have, the better? The more abundance you have, the better? How was abundance seen in your culture? How was it seen? How does that view of abundance affect you currently when it comes to abundant living? Just some really good questions to ask. I'm going to deep dive with you because as an ambassador, I want all of these questions to be explored. Now listen, let me just really stop for a moment and be really clear with you. Because you are an ambassador does not mean you have had to master all these areas that we're going to discuss. It simply means that you're willing to be radically active with abundance in motion. So please, I don't want you to begin to think that you need to be a master of relationships or a master of finances or a master of spirituality, because I don't want you to move into this fake, artificial, I'm living abundantly conversation for the sake of keeping up with ambassadors. I want this to be a transparent, authentic experience for all of us. Okay? Deal? Deal? Pinky promise deal? Yes. Point two, economic influencers. Based on the amount of money that your family had, that actually had an influence, unconscious or conscious, that had an influence on your relationship to money and abundance. For example, were there a lot of frustrations and arguments around money in your house? I don't know. Was it always in abundance? Did you have a lot of it and no worries about it? Or was it the bone of contention, that thing that made your family worry? Or was it the thing that made people divisive? Or was it the thing that brought everyone together? Whatever the economic experience was in your home growing up, even if it wasn't between parents, you live with grandparents or aunts, or you lived in a facility, whatever it was, whatever the conversation was around the economics of your environment literally has left an impression. Now, let me just stop by saying, let me just make a point to say, we're here identifying the influencers. It doesn't mean that's who you are today. And my heart just cracks open when I say that, because so many of these are my influencers. And I had to, one, become aware. You have to, one, become aware of what the conscious or the unconscious influencers are. And then, two, become aware of the intentional influencers that you want. And then, three, get into radical action to make it happen. Point three, you have gender influencers. And as a woman or as a man, you've been taught a particular way of thinking about money. As a woman, society or your family have told you about being a woman, what you should do, who you should be. And that's influenced your definition of abundance, of wealth. If you're a man, the same is true for you. But likely in many cases, the opposite. A woman, your relationship to money is very different than a man's relationship to money. As a woman, I know you may have heard, you know, either get a really great job or find a man with a really great job. Men, you don't hear that. You are determined. Your masculinity, your manhood is determined by how much money you make or how you can provide for your family. Neither are necessarily fair, and neither are necessarily true. But in our relationship to abundance, we live through those lenses. We look through those lenses. We see our life through those lenses, sometimes as if it were true. So just being aware of what's influenced you, whether it be culture, whether it be economic, whether it be gender, or point four, whether you've had geographical influencers. Where did you grow up? Now, your community may have had diversity, may have had black people and white people and Asian and Latina, but you were all in one geographical area under one geographical umbrella. And that umbrella had a mindset that came with it. That umbrella and everyone in that community thought a particular way about money. I look at where Jelani and I, well, I look at where I grew up. I look at where I grew up, and the geographical influencers around money and abundance was hustle, hustle, get yours, every man or woman for themselves. And, you know, don't slip, because you might lose the money in your purse, you might lose your car. Everything was just very, you know, scarcity and lack mentality. Now, my community was diverse, but everyone pretty much thought the same way. And now in the community that my son's growing up in, you know, when we first moved in, the neighbors brought food and they brought drink and they brought candles and they brought festivities, and everything is about abundance and there's enough. Total different mindset. And the community is still very diverse. Point five, your spiritual influencers. Your faith or the religion that you were raised in. Whether or not you're still a part of that particular religion, it still has had an impact on the way you look at money. Now, let me say this again. You may not be living through that old mindset, that old blueprint, but you had to make a conscious choice, if it was no longer serving you, to have a mind shift. Remember, I started this conversation with the way that I transformed my life into something that was barely recognizable was that I had to have a mindset shift on the understanding of abundance. So all I'm doing right now for you is unpacking the different areas. Abundance is one big word. Abundance. That's a big word, and it's a bountiful word with girth. But abundance is broken down: financial abundance, spiritual abundance, geographical. It has all these little subsectors. And if we're going to really do some major breakthroughs here, and I am committed to a major breakthrough, I hope you are as well, then we need to break it down and we need to see what are all the subsets that I need to focus on. So when we look at that, spirituality is one. How are you brought up in your spirituality has an impact on your relationship with abundance. In some spiritual backgrounds, money and prosperity is an indication of godliness. And the more prosperity you have, the more godliness exists. I once was speaking at a church in Chicago, and I was blown away when I went into the pastor's bathroom. So I was in the pastor's quarters, and I asked to use the restroom, and they said yes. And I went into the pastor's bathroom, and the seat was a clear seat with $100 bills embedded in the seat, like it was made all together in coins. And I was like, if that is not an indication to sit down on prosperity, I don't know what is. While in others, money, prosperity is the root of all evil. And in some others, religions, you should only keep what you need and everything else should go to the church or to a charity. I had a family member, and that was very true for her. She was very committed to her faith. And when she transitioned, the only thing that was kept was just enough for her to be buried. And everything else, with a capital E, everything, went to the church because that was her belief system. And then in others, tithing a solid 10% off the top of your income is a solid way to demonstrate your faith. So depending on wherever you are, whatever faith, whatever religion, it's having an influence on you. So I wanted to take a moment and really unpack. I like the word unpack. You'll hear me say that a lot. That's to open it up and to look at what are the things that are influencing us. What's your blueprint? What's that, I call it like that back of the head conversation that you don't really hear, but it's influencing everything. It's the lenses that you're looking at the world through, and you might not even be clear that you're looking through a particular set of lenses. This is where we bring from the unconscious to the conscious, and then we look at it and say, now does that belief system, I want you to ask yourself this, does that belief system around how I relate to money based on my culture, does it still fit me? If it's yes, let's put it in your pocket and let's walk with it. But if it's no, let's find out how do we detach from that so that it's no longer influencing your decisions. So let's take a moment and talk about the Abundance Now movement. Oh, when I say it, it just makes me excited. And I want you to know this. The movement isn't about me. The movement isn't even about you. The movement is so about us. The movement is about a small group of people who are willing to make a great big stand to make this world a better place while we're here. It's about having the mindset that abundance, I'll say it again and again and again and again, is available to all of us. Abundance isn't something that you have to go and get over there or over there and it has to happen out there. Abundance is available for us right now. Abundance is something that has to live inside of our health, live inside of our financial wealth, live inside of our spirituality, live inside our relationships, live inside our workplace. Abundance is a mindset that we all get to have. And it's time for someone to have a conversation about it. Someone who's willing to have a holistic view. And that's what this movement is. This movement is about stirring souls. This movement is about raising the consciousness of the planet. This movement is about small gathers of like-minded people and raising an awareness and raising a vibration to such a point that somewhere out there, there's a new definition of abundance. And they don't even know where it started. They'll just say, back in the day, you know, that four-year-old kid that in 16 years, they'll say, you know, there was something going on way back in 2000 and something. And all of a sudden, it just never looked the same. And you and I will know it was the Abundance Now movement. So it's a crazy, radical, necessary, long overdue conversation that I need for you to have with as many people as possible. And I commit to have it with as many people as possible. And together, you and I, all of a sudden, this ripple effect will occur. And then this tsunami will come. And life will forever be different. And we would have contributed. We would have made our dash mean something. So I have some self-work for you. Now, I want you to get used to self-work. Don't freak out. If you're like me in school, homework would make you nervous. You have people like Jen Kim, who's our marketing genius, who probably loved self-work because she was really good in school. That wasn't me. But if you're like me, don't get freaked out. Self-work is all about making you better. Self-work is all about fine-tuning who you are in this journey. Self-work is all about us staying connected and aligned with each other. So don't stop at the self-work. Not even if you might have gotten nervous like me back in school. This self-work is about transforming your life and the lives of others. So, self-work number one. Oh, yeah. And there's going to be multiple self-works. And I want you to stay in action. And we're going to look for the results. So self-work number one, I want you to fill out the redefining abundance worksheet. I want you to fill out the redefining abundance worksheet. And I want you to define three things, share with me, three things that you're currently doing right now to create abundance in your personal life. What are three things that you're currently doing right now to create abundance in your life? And then I want you to write and share with me three things that you must do. Three things that you know you are ready to get in action about. Or three things that you don't know quite if you're ready, but you know you need to create more abundance in your life. Now, I want you to post two of these important things, any two that you're doing now, two that you need to do, one of each. I want to see you. I want your community to see you. I want someone else who's working on the exact same thing to raise their hand and go, hey, I'm working on the exact same thing. Let's be accountability buddies, or let's just be each other's cheerleaders. I want you to explore each blueprint, each influencer, and list everything that has influenced your relationship with abundance. I want you to look at what are the things as a woman that's influenced my relationship. You know, the more you know, the more you grow, right? Even when you bring from the unconscious to the conscious, the more you know, the more you grow. So I really want you to take time and open this up. What's influenced your relationship with abundance? I want you to take a highlighter. Now, I want you to make a list. And I want you to remember stuff. Like, I remember Sister Brown at my church, who you may have heard me share before. She was the most godly woman I've ever seen. Everyone wanted to be like Sister Brown. I mean, people came from miles, hundreds of miles away to honor Sister Brown when she transitioned. And the things they said about her, I'm like, that lady's an angel. Sister Brown was broke. She was always needing support. We were always helping her keep her lights on. And so this list for me, I would write something that influenced me spiritually was that I believed I needed to be as broke as Sister Brown. That's what I would write down because that was a huge influence on my life. Money wasn't a divider in my family. We just never had a lot of it, never had enough of it. So economically, we always ran out of month before we ran out of money. I would write that down. So I want you to take your time and write down from all five of those categories that I share with you when you think about cultural, you think about spiritual, you think about gender, you think about economical, and you think of economics, you think about economics, and you think about geographical. When you think about all five of those areas, how have they each influenced your relationship to abundance? Now, I want you to take a highlighter, and within each of these areas, if something has really been a driver, you may have three things in each area or six things in each area, three in one, two in another. What are those prevalent drivers that have really influenced your actions and your feelings about living abundantly, about money, about prosperity, about living in possibility versus lack, or about living in lack versus possibility, whichever that is. What are those big influencers? Now, finally, but it's not super large. This is about getting to know each other, and this is about getting to know what you're up to and how you're feeling. And this is the largest self-work of them all. Now, this is also the reason why you became an ambassador. This is also why we're here. Your final piece of self-work is the self-work I'm going to give you each time we come together. I want you to invite people. Invite people to come and be with you at your purpose party. Invite people to come and learn from you, grow with you, expand with you, share with you. I want you to facilitate an inspirational event. I want you to knock their socks off. I want you to be transparent and authentic, engaging and enrolling. I want you to be well-versed. I want you to have read through everything that we're going to give you, feel empowered and feel on fire. And then I want you to be. And I want you to invite 5 friends over, 10 friends over, 15, whatever number you feel comfortable with. I'm going to give you more information about how to do it with excellence, grace, and ease. But your final piece of self-work is to get in action. I know you've been waiting for this, so it's now here. I'll talk more about it in part 2 of our training, how to make it absolutely successful. I'll see you then.